This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Shamila Ganesan. It is the eve of the full nationwide lockdown, so that's what we're focused on today. MCO 3.0, the final version.
So first, we'll be looking at the confusion that a lot of businesses are in, seeking letters to be able to operate and trying to find out which ministry they need to contact.
And then we'll be talking about mental health. The mood feels different this time around, and we wanted to discuss the importance of checking in on yourself and the people around you and managing stress and worry.
So tell us, how are you feeling? How will MCO 3.0 affect you? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story.
It's 6:07. Are you ready for another round of deja vu? Because we've been talking about MCO after MCO for what feels like a week now. But on Friday evening, it was officially announced that we are going to be heading into a full nationwide lockdown. And the first phase will be starting from tomorrow till the 14th of June. This announcement was made following the rise in cases after we hit 8,290. And in fact, 2 days ago, we also recorded a record high of 9,015. So as in essence and in spirit, I think this MCO is now going to look very much like the MCO that we went through in March of last year, seeing a complete shutdown of all social and economic sectors, barring 17 essential services.
So on that note, you know, there's been a little bit of a change in terms of how that application to continue working, to be considered an essential service, will work. Essentially, Senior Minister for Security Ismail Sabri Yaakob said that our existing permission letters, which were issued by MITI, would be void after the 31st of May, and that from now on, different industries would basically have to apply for that permission to operate from the respective ministry that they fall under. This has, I think, caused a fair amount of confusion and frustration among a lot of people, because not every industry or not every business necessarily knows which ministry they should be applying to. Seeking clarification on government websites have been difficult because they're jammed up. And all of this happening when there's not a lot of time to do it, because we've basically just had a day and a half to put things in order.
Yeah, and also bearing in mind that, of course, one business is not one business. One business could be 20 people, it could be 50 people, it could be 100 people, all of whom need letters. They need to know whether they fall into the category of essential. They need to know whether they need to go to work. So there are all these different things, right? And if you look also at, for example, F&B, they have specifically said they're not sure which ministry they should apply to. The Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs did say that businesses could apply through a Google form and that they would submit that. But they also didn't explicitly state that F&B operators would apply through them or could, which added to the confusion. So I think if you... This is one of those great on paper ideas, right? Because in theory, each ministry would be best placed to decide who is essential. Why is this business essential? We've heard complaints in the past of the term essential, shall we say, being used very loosely, you know, with a lot of people getting branded as essential, even if you had questions about that. So in theory, ministries would be best placed to do that. But I don't know. I think a lot of people don't spend that much time thinking about, oh, which ministry do I fall under? Now I know. Now I know exactly who to contact.
Yes. And I think, again, that question of time is an important thing, right? If you had a week to kind of look into this and make the necessary applications, it's one thing. If you have 2 days or less than 2 days, then you have a bit more of a challenge. I mean, I know even for us here at BFM, for instance, there have been a lot of questions about how to drive into work tomorrow for those of us who are in the office, because we, for instance, would be communicating with the MCMC, who will then submit our information to the Ministry of Communications and Multimedia. Then the permission letters are going to be issued. So I think as it stands, we're expecting a temporary letter sometime today if that main letter doesn't happen. So, I mean, that's an example. And I'm sure multiple industries across the board are dealing with multiple challenges like this.
Yes. Although just to very quickly say that even as we're speaking, there has been an update. And while we previously were talking about individual businesses having to apply to individual ministries, what it looks like now is that there is instead going to have a one-stop center that is going to be coordinated by MITI that is going to issue these sorts of operational letters. And I think what this one-stop center is going to do is get confirmation or get validation from the various ministries. And then, yeah, so they're going to be serving a coordinating role. So there is that at least. If you didn't know which ministry you fall under, there is now a one-stop center. However, whether or not it's going to come out in time for when, for the 1st of June, for the 2nd of June, for people to be able to be on the road safely, that is quite another question. So, somewhat proving our point, we're going to be talking after this about the confusion that a lot of people have been facing and how that's affecting businesses. But we want to know, business or no business, working or no working in general, how are you feeling about the instating, the return of MCO 1.0 in MCO 3.0? Is your day going to look very different from tomorrow onwards? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we are going to be joined to discuss this by Dr. Ong Ken Ming, MP for Bangi, as well as the former Deputy Minister of International Trade. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Balming frustrated minds, BFM 89.9.
It is just about 6:16 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about MCO 3.0, the final version, which is going to kick off tomorrow. So it is the eve today. We want to know, how are you feeling? How are you impacted by this? You can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So for this first bit, we were going to talk about the confusion that has been caused by people having to apply to their individual ministries to know whether they can run. But instead, we're talking about the confusion of announcements that are being made very shortly before they're supposed to kick into effect, because instead of applying to individual ministries, there is now going to be a one-stop center coordinated by MITI. And yeah, so we just wanted to kind of talk about the impact that this can have on businesses. Joining us for that is Dr. Ong Ken Ming, MP for Bangi and former Deputy Minister of International Trade. Ken Ming, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So first off, what are your thoughts on this new process?
I think it's something to be welcomed. In fact, that was what I recommended this morning when I issued a press statement to ask the government to basically allow MITI to continue using their CIMS process, but involving all the other ministries that are stakeholders. So basically, you know, if let's say you're a restaurant that you want and you want to open, you know, you've got to apply to, let's say, the Ministry of Domestic Trade through the MITI system, but the approval will come from the Ministry of Domestic Trade, and then MITI will just issue the letter on behalf of that particular ministry. So I think it's to be welcomed, but all this should have been planned before the announcement, not after, right? So it's another case of a U-turn. We've seen many of this happen.
So what sort of feedback have you been getting from companies and industries since this announcement has been made?
Since the announcement of going to your individual ministries that was announced yesterday, I got contacted by somebody who is in the sale of safety glasses, right? Because that's important for the construction industry and for the manufacturing industry. A hotel and farm operator, an optometrist, somebody from the steel sector supplying to the construction industry as well as the E&E. This afternoon, a contractor who is dealing with drains and culverts, because there are some repairs happening in my constituency, restaurants, and also the people from the aircon sector, right? Because they are also important in terms of servicing aircon as well as manufacturing aircons. Yeah.
And what have they been saying? So considering the breadth of different industries that have been contacting you.
Yeah, they want to know how to apply for permission to operate.
Right.
Right. So I really anticipated that the Ministry of Domestic Trade will have the most volume because all of the, basically anyone who's in doubt, they will go to this particular ministry, restaurants, aircon people, optometrists, right? I think the ministry just couldn't handle the volume. The website crashed. They came out with a Google form that they promoted on Twitter, and that also crashed. So, so that's why I think it's good that MITI retakes this responsibility. And I was joking just now to a friend that this Ministry of Domestic Trade should send over some food and drinks to their MITI colleagues, you know, who are helping them bail out of this mess, you know. Oh, it's such a mess. Yeah. We laugh about this, but it causes real stress among business owners and among employees. You know, I have some business owners coming to ask me, so should I ask my employees to go to work tomorrow if I haven't gotten the permit? Then I tell them, look, honestly speaking, the employers will have to determine whether they should ask their employees to take the risk or not. And I think this is something that's very unfair on the employers as well as the employees, you know, because it's basically, you know, government screwing up the process and us having to pick up the pieces.
So, I mean, there's been a lot of comparisons being drawn to the first MCO, right? Could you talk us through some of the issues that existed in the previous iterations of the MCO, especially in terms of who could work, who couldn't, how was that enforced? Will this new process address those issues?
Okay. So I think the problems with the first MCO was that it wasn't very clear who was supposed to be in the essential sector. For example, people supplying bread. Of course, they're essential. You need food, right? But how about the people supplying the plastic bags to the bread company, right? Now, you need to buy milk. But how about the people producing the plastic materials like the caps and the bottles, right? So I think, that process still has some challenges. But the good thing is that MITI has already gone through this experience, right? So they know the supply chain much better compared to the first MCO. And that's why I'm glad that MITI has retaken the responsibility of at least being sort of like the central processing center. But there's still a lot of questions to be asked and also to be answered because this is MITI may be familiar with the supply chain to do with manufacturing. But how about for the services? Right. So restaurant operation, for example, somebody was asking me, construction sector. If let's say I'm the contractor, but I want to get drains from the manufacturer for the builder. Right. Who is that person supposed to ask? Is it from the Ministry of Works? Is it from MITI? Right. If I'm in aircon, I do servicing. Who should I ask? Is it the Ministry of Domestic Affairs? If I'm a hotel operator. And should I ask the Ministry of Tourism? Should I ask the Ministry of the Immigration Department? Because let's say that's where some of the quarantine people are coming. Should I ask the Ministry of Health? All these things still there's still a lot of questions to be answered, and I'll keep raising these issues.
Something else, I think that you've mentioned as well, is this issue of time, right? Because it was announced on Friday evening, the full SOPs then came out over the weekend.
Sunday, yeah.
What do you make of the amount of time that's been given for people to make arrangements?
Of course, it's not enough. I mean, you make the announcement on Sunday, and then Monday you expect people to go in, and it's unfair to the other ministries as well. When Ismail Sabri, the Minister of Defence and Senior Minister, makes these announcements together with the National Security Council, there are a lot of questions that need to be ironed out and answered. So, I've made this statement before. If the Prime Minister wants to impose a lockdown, make sure that when he makes the announcement, he has all his ministers around him to have the answers ready. Right? This time, what do we have? We had a PDF statement coming on Thursday, and then the announcement coming on Friday, SOPs are being announced on Sunday. On Monday, people have to scramble. That's just not the way you want to manage the country's economy. And if, let's say, that's the way you manage this process of shutting down the country, one wonders, are the same kind of challenges being faced among the people in the Ministry of Health in order to tackle COVID? So this is not the end of it. We'll still have to go through the same old process again. If let's say we restart the economy and you know, and then the cases rise again, are we going to have another MCO 4.0 with the same kind of issues? So we already have more than 1 year of doing this. Should we not have learned from our mistakes? You know, that's something that just flabbergasted. Makes me flabbergasted.
So I'm just thinking of even the preparation that needs to be put into place before announcing something like this, right? You mentioned earlier using a Google form or government websites being jammed up. What sorts of preparation needs to be, I suppose, looked at and ensured that it's there before announcements are made, before applications are taken?
Okay, first of all, you need to get all the ministers or the important ones, the ones, ET, transport, domestic trade, home ministry and all that, get them together in the same room. That's the first thing. Second thing, you must make sure that the ministers know their brief, right? If they don't know their brief, they're going to be referring to their civil servant, senior civil servant management behind all the time, right? And then the meeting will suddenly become interminable, you know, basically consulting here and there, left, right, center. If let's say the minister knows his brief, like for example, I think YB Khairy knows his brief very well. He doesn't need to consult too much. You can just have a very frank discussion in the room and then you say, okay, we need to iron out issues X, Y, and Z. And then the meeting minister can say, is the Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs ready to take all these applications? And then Alex Lingyi will say, no, we're not ready. We don't have the forms ready. We don't have the system ready. And then Miti should say, look, we can do it. We have this CIMS system, right? Just that. Don't blame us for approving. The approval should come from you. You have to do the responsibility of coming up with what is your approval list. We will issue the letter based on your recommendations in the name of your ministry, right? And then when the police see the recommendation form, at least they will know which ministry is from. It will have a standard format. It won't be like a Google form, right? So, you guys can decide how many ministers sitting in the same room would have the same level of competency to be able to do what I just said.
So, in closing, do you think that these changes will eventually improve SOP compliance among essential service workers? I think, in a way, it's a larger question about the efficacy or the hopeful efficacy of MCO 3.0.
I certainly hope so, but a lot of these things remain to be seen because we've had these SOPs before. And I think what is really important is how we enforce it in a smart way and then how we try to improve it during and then after the lockdown. So, for example, there are a lot of factory clusters from the manufacturing sector, not from the big companies, but a lot of them from SMEs, including in my own area in Belakong and in Bangi. So what is the ministry, relevant ministries doing, whether it's MITI, Ministry of Human Resources, doing in order to, encourage or work with these SMEs in the manufacturing sector to house their workers properly? And believe you me, some of the conditions that these workers are housed in are pretty deplorable. If you're interested, I can bring some of you again. You can see, but that's for another topic for another conversation. Yeah.
Kianming, just a quick one before we let you go. What kind of support should MPs plan to provide during MCO 3.0? Or, what are they already doing?
Okay, so for me and many of my colleagues, we've been providing food aid. And I think in the urban areas, this, depending on the type of constituency, this is something that should continue. The other thing that I'm trying to do is to help out the Ministry of Health frontliners. There are a couple of COVID assessment centers that have been opened in my constituency, including in Kajang. So they are quite under-equipped. They may need some portable air cons. You know, it's very hot inside the hall. They may need more tents, we're also trying to help out the police because, 800 roadblocks, during Raya, I gave the police some food contributions because to acknowledge their hard work at these roadblocks. But now with more roadblocks, I think many of them would also, we should value their services by trying to make life as easy for them as possible in these roadblocks, providing tents, providing water. And I'll be working together with other people in my constituency, including businesses and NGOs, to try to help out these different frontliners.
Kianming, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Yeah, thanks.
That was Dr. Ong Kianming, MP for Bangi and former Deputy Minister of International Trade, commenting on the system that has been put in place for businesses to apply for permission to operate during lockdown. This is, of course, the lockdown that is going to kick off tomorrow. We want to know what your experiences have been and also in general how MCO 3.0 is going to affect you. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And just to say that if you are still in that state of confusion, because it has been so very confusing, you now no longer need to apply to your individual ministry, whoever that may be. Instead, you can apply for permission through CIMS 3.0. Just head to miti.gov.my. You will find a link to the registration form on their landing page. So hopefully that helps. We'll be back. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:37 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking today about what else? MCO 3.0, since we are, of course, on the eve of the full nationwide lockdown. So we want to know how you're feeling and whether or not you've been experiencing difficulty in terms of knowing whether you're going to work, whether you've gotten your letter, if you are going to work. Basically, we want to know how things will be different for you over the next couple of weeks. So you can let us know how you're feeling, how you're doing by calling 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we are just about going to be talking about how to take care of our mental health in this period. But before that, some messages.
So we have an anonymous message that says, on the issue of authorization letters, it looks like the rakyat are expected to self-help again. What more, we are expected to do quote-unquote magic at the drop of a hat. My employer is considering approaching the local Balai Polis since we're not sure what ministry we are under. I've actually been hearing this from multiple people that because they're so unsure that they think it might just be easier to go and try their luck at the police station. And that point on self-help, I think more and more people are feeling that when they don't get the kind of response that they need and fast from the relevant ministries.
Which we're also seeing from SC, who says, yes, very stressful. I'm in hardware trying to apply for approval. We're trying to survive. My wife is in banking, both of us in essential services. Daycare requires letters and approval letters to prove that we're essential workers. Yet until now, I can't get approval to do business. It's so stressful. The ministry's website kept crashing. Nothing in the media on how to apply for approval. Only got to know about Google form, the Google form from a customer. So to both Anonymous as well as SC, I don't know if you managed to catch it earlier, but there is now a one-stop center. So you no longer have to try the police station. You don't have to try and worry about which ministry you're under. Instead, just go to miti.gov.my and you will find a link to the registration form on their landing page. I'm hoping that they'll be quick because as you are rightly pointing out, there is a real need here for urgency. And also, SC, I'm so sorry to hear that even getting daycare is complicated. And I think from the beginning, looking at the SOPs, that was definitely one that stood out in terms of being difficult to implement properly.
Yes. And on that note of just, I think, struggles and challenges that everyone is going through collectively, we have this from MZ, who says, what makes my blood boil is that a certain minister had the cheek to ask us to make sacrifices. I don't see these ministers making sacrifices. They're still flying and traveling everywhere. Plus, I'm blaming everyone else too. I lost my grandma in February. I didn't get to see her in 2020 due to MCO. But somehow you read that you have these jokers going for weddings and funerals all around the country. Is your family more valuable than my family? Malaysians will never learn, and hence we're heading to be a failed nation. We collectively caused this. MZ, I'm so sorry. That's, you know, I can imagine that's incredibly hard to go through. And you're right that I think this entitlement and this sense of my life and my needs being more important than others is something we've definitely seen among many quarters. And I don't know, it annoys me, it enrages me as well.
Yeah, it's very difficult, right? Because there is this constant thing of, no, I think everybody should follow the SOPs. But the thing is, I'm really careful.
Yeah.
You don't know. Yeah. I'm really careful. And the truth is that, you know, for as long as that's the case, we can't, it's difficult, therefore, to then complain about issues with enforcement. Because if we are not self-regulating, right? Like, I don't know. It's just been a very disappointing thing. And that's something that we wanted to focus on. This sense of, I think, disappointment and stress and anxiety that so many of us are feeling, and how we can deal with that, how we can kind of manage everything that's happening at the moment. So we are going to be speaking about mental health and kind of being able to check in with ourselves, with others. After this, we're going to be joined by Evelyn Sung, clinical psychologist. If you would like to share how you're doing, if you have any questions, you can, of course, call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:43 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about MCO 3.0 and the full nationwide lockdown that is about to kick off tomorrow. So we've kind of covered the SOPs earlier. We've also talked about the kinds of confusion and stress that many people have been experiencing. So we wanted to take the opportunity now to look at this issue of mental health and how it is that we can best be caring for our own as well as those around us, the people we love. If you have questions, if you'd like to share how you're feeling, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to discuss this is Evelyn Sung, clinical psychologist. Evelyn, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me this evening.
So, over the past year, we've seen a lot of MCOs, but tomorrow the country is going to return to what we saw pretty much around the same time of a total lockdown for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? Are you kind of, what are you doing to prepare for it?
So I think, how am I feeling? That's a good question. I think same like with many of us, you know, we're finding difficult to, you know, go back to work from home again full time. My center will be closed as well. So working from home full time, I think it's going back to this whole boundary setting as well and what we have actually done last year. And I think for many of us, there's actually this term called pandemic fatigue going on as well, you know, whereby, you know, as what you guys mentioned earlier, many people, they just feel demotivated to follow SOPs and to protect people around them and themselves. I think we are seeing more and more of this happening among my clients as well, this pandemic fatigue, and eventually leading to burnout too. So I guess for today as well, I think we'll be sharing some tips on what we can do moving forward this lockdown.
On that note, it does feel, I think, that this time around, the overall tone, the mood is a bit different from the first MCO. I remember back then, there was a lot of emphasis on Kita Jaga Kita, let's do all of this for each other. This feels more like almost a punishment for behaving badly in some ways. Do you think, I don't know, what do you think people are feeling right now in comparison to how they felt before?
Right. So I think right now, because this has gone on for more than a year right now, and many of us, you know, even for us psychologists, many of us are actually feeling, you know, in a way exhausted, frustrated. There's a lot of all this helplessness going on as well. And to the point where I do know many frontliners to, you know, to a point where they are already really burnt out, right? Burnt out in a sense where they start to feel disengaged when it comes to doing their work as well from all this fatigue. So I think we are getting more and more of this kind of burnout, pandemic burnout, if you may, going on among the public and frontliners too.
Something just occurred to me, actually. I wanted to pick up on a message that we read earlier from MZ, who expressed so much anger, right? So much understandable anger, not just for the authorities, but also for our fellow rakyat, our fellow Malaysians who haven't behaved that well. And I'm just wondering how we can work through that, because I think a lot of people share that sense of frustration. And yet also, this is all we have. This is just what we're facing right now.
Right. So, yes, I think it really frustrates us, especially for those who are not, you know, following SOPs or, you know, not taking care of people around them. I think a lot of times, you know, easier said than done, but a lot of times it's really there are just that much that we can do, and there's just that much that is within our control, right? I'm hearing many people, they not just feeling frustrated, but also many of them actually express feeling having more panic attacks going out, especially with the number of cases on the rise right now. So normally what we would really recommend or even talk to our clients about is to see what are some of the things still within our control, right? Whenever we feel anxious, whenever we feel worried, it's actually, you know, a lot of times it's not a bad thing to feel anxious and worried, because it's really going back to, you know, this survival mode to protect ourselves from any form of danger. But at the same time, when you find this kind of overwhelming anxiety or emotions starts affecting your life, interfering with your life, starting having panic attacks, this would be something to look into. So try to seek out what are some of the things that you can do that is still within your own control, whether you following SOPs yourself, taking more sanitizers out with you and things like that.
So let's talk about what we could do, right? First, from the point of assessing and sort of just giving ourselves a mental health check, when might be a good time to do that?
Right. So mental health check, there are many ways that we can do this. So the first thing is like what I talked about earlier, you know, pandemic fatigue can eventually lead to pandemic burnout, right? You will start noticing you tend to be more agitated with the people around you. You may find yourself having poor concentration when it comes to work, or feeling exhausted, and you can't seem to meet expectations in school, work, and any form of relationship. Generally, this sense of disconnection or disengagement, this is a warning, really warning sign to look into that you may be experiencing burnout already.
And further on from that, if I don't know, if we could come up with a checklist of sorts, right? A checklist of questions, of signs that we should ask ourselves, look at ourselves for, what might that look like?
Right. So there are a few things. Normally, when it comes to burnout, it will actually affect a person from the head all the way to the tip of your toes, right? So you try to imagine from starting from your head, you know, you may feel dizziness, headaches. You may start having blurred vision, right? You tend to clench your jaw more. Your shoulders, your neck will just hurt, your back pain. Your heart starts palpitating. You sweat more. You have tremors. Going all the way down to your toes, your feet is, you know, tiredness, lethargy, and things like that. If we want to have a more objective way of measuring, so to speak, your level of stress, anxiety, and depression, you can actually Google this scale called Depression, Anxiety, and Stress Scale 21. So DASS 21. It consists of questionnaires, 21 questions that list out some of the depression, anxiety, and stress scale questions items. So you can go in and do it for free. Yeah, it's for free. And you can actually see, okay, am I right now in mild stress or severely impaired kind of stress level? So from there on, you can actually do corrective measures as well.
And how can we look out for signs of these things amongst the people around us, among our loved ones?
Yeah. So the most common thing that people around can actually watch out for would be, you know, if you start noticing people around you start to eat lesser or eat a lot more, right? Or binge drinking or taking some substances, or they look tired or even snappy, right? Tend to snap on you and, you know, feeling this whole, that is just whole aura of low energy and disconnectedness. So this would be times where, you know, you can check in with them and just express to them saying, you know, hey, I'm really worried about you. And this is what I've noticed of late. Is there something that I can do, or is there something that you would like to talk about?
One thing that has also been talked about a lot through the pandemic is the continued is life continuing? So you continue to have expectations because of the relationships you have, because of work that you do. So how can we perhaps practice self-compassion in the ways that we handle worry and stress, and also be compassionate outwards, right? And cognizant that others are also dealing with a lot at the moment.
Yeah. So it's good that you pointed out this thing about expectation, right? Because over the past 1 year, you know, I've heard so many of us that says, oh my God, time just went by like that. And I didn't even know what I did for the past 1 year. So I guess one thing that we can, a few things actually, the first one would be, you know, try to take time off to reflect. How have you been for the past 1 year plus, right? What worked for you? What didn't work for you? And what are the things that you have actually accomplished? Because I think a lot of times when we are stuck at home, working from home, on and off, trying to adapt with all these new SOPs, we tend to forget what are the things that we have actually accomplished for the past 1 year plus. The second one would be, you know, as you are reflecting, thinking about this, try to also think about, you know, what do you need the most right now? What will be helpful for you? And perhaps even, you know, when was the last time you had fun? Because, you know, when we talk about the pandemic, when we talk about coping, it's almost like, you know, there's this sense of heaviness associated in it, right? Some people would say that, oh man, I wish I could just travel and do something else. So when was the last time you had fun even, or spending time with loved ones? Try to give that a think, and perhaps, you know, you can come up with some list on what would be helpful for you. Because I think over the past 1 year, there are many talks, many discussions about, you know, boundaries at work, adding structures, you know, exercise, having balanced meal. But we tend to forget what we have actually accomplished during the past 1 year.
Now, I wanted to draw a little bit on, or rather link this conversation on mental health to government messaging, right? Do you think enough focus has been given when it comes to public messaging from the government? Is there enough priority given to mental health?
I think right now, during the first wave, I think during the first lockdown, there has been a lot of efforts I see from the government, you know, coming out with Talian Kase and things like that. But I guess, again, you know, over the months, people just feel really tired. They don't even know, you know, whether this is normal, this is so-called the new normal, that they are going through all these things. And having said that, I do hear more and more clients coming in to seek for help. Perhaps it's through all these different, you know, messages or education, which they, people are actually picking up as well. So I would say, yes, the number of clients has been increasing. I do hear that from my peers working in KKM as well. But then again, I think the efforts need to be put on continuously, not just during, you know, the lockdown or during the first wave, so to speak.
It falls to me, I guess, to ask all the questions about anger, because I think if we look at the tone and manner of the communication from authorities, there's been increasingly a disappointed tone taken with people, increasingly, you know, why are you doing this? We need to do better kind of tone that's coming in terms of the public health messaging. Might that also have an impact on mental health as a whole?
I would say this would really vary from person to person. Having said that, I believe like all these tones can have some form of impact, right? Especially, you know, some people, if let's say they are already feeling really anxious, but with all these conflicting kind of messages, that can actually add up to even more anxiety, right? Especially when there's unclear procedures, protocols, and things like that. But again, I think we are all still learning during this point of time, even though it has been more than a year right now. We are continuously learning about ourselves, about the protocol, the procedures. So I think, again, going back to support, this would be really the time if you find yourself having this kind of burnout symptoms or feeling disconnected, you know, this would be really the time. I know it may be really difficult, but really find your ways or, you know, seek help, reach out, speak to people. I think this would be something that is still within our control at this point.
Evelyn, you know, this year looks like it is going to be another tough and challenging one for everyone. What message would you like to leave us with?
Right. Don't give up hope. I know everyone is doing their very best to cope with their, you know, own circumstances. But again, we are all in this together. Reach out if you need. And I always, I can't emphasize this enough. I always tell my clients that, you know, reaching out to a mental health professional is not that you are mentally ill per se, but it is a process of growth as well. So I want everyone to know you're not alone in this.
Evelyn, thank you so much for speaking
with
us. Take care. That was Evelyn Sung, clinical psychologist, talking to us about mental health, really, ahead of the return of a stricter lockdown, the likes of which we saw last year. Although really the mood, I think, of it this year has been very, very different. So we want to know, how are you feeling? How are you doing? Will the MCO impact your daily life? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have, let's see, some messages, mostly, however, to do with the SOPs.
Yes, which, you know, I think is quite understandable because there's a lot of anxiety and frustration around it. Let's see, we have Kevin who says, I called KPDN HEP since yesterday to get information on the approval letters to operate, but all calls were unanswered. It looks like the robot is also working from home. And then I emailed the ministry, sent messages via Facebook and WhatsApp, but to no avail. Then came the Google form at noon, which took me 4 hours to just submit for 40 stores and branches. Each submission required a unique email address, as well as the same email cannot be used again for another application. It took many attempts to load the form, many more attempts to submit it before getting back a notification that it was successful. What a waste of time, since I may need to apply via Meety one-stop service now. I'm frustrated reading about that, Kevin. I don't know how you did that 14 times.
So I think this is why we wanted to tie these two things together, right? Mental health as well as this process, because I think that we've been hearing so much about this issue of certainty, of having some form of certainty, of knowing what to do, where to go. And I think these sorts of things really have an impact, maybe not in the immediate sense, but over time, over MCOs, over having to do this over and over. If you'd like to share, keep those thoughts coming. We'll be back to read these messages. Keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.